Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible this morning, if you will. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 24, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do. If you don't, I ask you to trust me, all right? And give you what the Word of God says this morning. Acts chapter 24, if you've got that Bible. And we'll read a few verses, and I'll preach to you this morning. We're going to begin in verse 24. Chapter 24, verse 24. The Bible says there, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." Now, we've been going through the book of Acts, and we've got to this part of the book of Acts where Paul's been taken prisoner because there's a number of the Jews that sought to kill him. But what we see here in this particular portion of Scripture is that every time the Apostle Paul got the opportunity, he never failed to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and point men to him. Never failed to do that. We learned earlier in this chapter, Paul had the opportunity to make his defense before Felix. He was brought in and he was asked, you know, "What are you accused of?" And Paul made his defense. But this time he's been called in by Felix. And notice what it says in verse 24. He said he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Man, can you imagine that? Paul, the apostle, the great missionary, the great preacher, called in, and the fellow who calls you in doesn't say, "I want you to defend yourself." No, "Hey, I want to hear about the faith in Christ." Man, that's like saying sic'em to a bulldog, all right? And man, Paul couldn't have been happier, I'm sure, than to have that opportunity. We do not know exactly what Paul said. The Bible doesn't record the message, but it does give us the subject matter of the message, all right? Notice what it says that he did, all right? In verse 25, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. He reasoned with him. Hey, can I say this to you? Everything in the Scripture is reasonable. Everything in the Word of God is reasonable. Nothing in the Bible is unreasonable. Nothing God asks you to do is unreasonable. Nothing. It is very reasonable. And with having to talk about righteousness, temperance, and judgment, that would give any preacher plenty of ammunition to be able to preach for a while. And I want you to notice, man, what he said had an effect on Felix. Notice what it says about him. It says in verse 25, "As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." Felix trembled. God used the message. Undoubtedly, God used that message to get to the heart of Felix, to touch him. Preachers are often accused of stepping on people's toes. I've had people go out after the service and said, "Preacher, my shoes are all scuffed up. You were all over my toes this morning." Hey, can I just say this to you? I'm not trying to reach your toes. I'm trying to get to your heart, okay? For it's out of the heart. That's where it comes from, all right? It's the heart that needs to be dealt with. Well, the preaching touched the heart of Felix. Conviction came. Conviction came because it was very plain. It was very pointed preaching that was given, and that kind of preaching gets results, all right? Now, that's not the kind of preaching people necessarily want to hear. We would oftentimes say, "Preacher, could you just give me something soothing? Could you just give me a soft word and, if you would, a pat on the back?" But what we need is a kick in the rear. It's not a pat on the back, all right? So that plain pointed preaching brings conviction, and that preaching that's made to soothe and pacify and pet the sinner never will cause the sinner to tremble under conviction. But Felix trembled. Felix trembled. Why? Conviction got a hold of him. Conviction got a hold of him. I don't know if you've ever been in a service where conviction was so strong on somebody that you saw them tremble. I've seen people do some strange things because of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Man, I've seen God just get a hold of people like you'd never think could happen, all right? But it was plain preaching, and it is plain preaching that is used of the Holy Spirit to stir the heart of man. It's when we come across with that plain preaching from the Word of God, that's what stirs us. That brings conviction. Can I say this to you? Conviction is a good thing. Conviction is a good thing. You see, conviction comes from the realization that you're guilty. You're guilty. And when we talk about Holy Spirit conviction, we're talking about conviction that comes that makes you realize you're guilty of breaking the law of God. That you've sinned. You've broken the law of God. Until you realize you're wrong, you'll never get right. There has to be that realization. Wait, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. We need that. It's good to be convicted. It's good to be convicted. Man, to have that feeling come over you and you realize, now it's not pleasant. But it's good. It's good. Because once we realize, hey, I'm wrong, then I can make it right. I can make it right. But you have to realize that. I have to make that realization. Okay, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. What I did was wrong. My actions are wrong. Hey, I violated God's word. I've broken his law. That's a good thing, all right? That's a good thing. Felix knew he was wrong. Felix knew he was wrong. He knew that his sin had separated him from God. And I'm glad the Holy Spirit convicts us. You need to be glad the Holy Spirit convicts you. Don't be upset about it. Don't be upset with God. That conviction comes. That God's speaking to you. Then there's something you need to do. So Felix trembled. But wait a minute. Only Felix trembled. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, we don't know how many heard Paul speak that day. We know it wasn't just Felix. Now, we know his wife Drusilla was there. She was present. And in those kind of situations, you don't have a two-person audience. I guarantee you, undoubtedly, there were some other people there present. There were some others, all right? There were others that were there. There were others that were guilty. There were others that were guilty to say, now, wait a minute, preacher, you're judging. You're judging. You're not supposed to judge. Well, I just want to give you a biblical reason. I know there were others that were there that were guilty. All right? You say, well, how do you know? He preached on righteousness. He preached on righteousness. He said, well, okay, so what? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous. No, not one. None righteous. And I'm looking at a crowd of unrighteous people. Now, lest you think I'm better than you, this morning I got a real good look at an unrighteous person when I looked in the mirror. I saw an unrighteous person. Hey, I'm telling you, if he preached on righteousness, there had to be somebody else that would have been guilty and would have felt that, all right? The Scripture convinces me of the fact somebody else had to feel that guilt. When righteousness is the subject, we all come up short. When righteousness is the subject, we all come up short. Every one of us. And here they were. The Bible says only Felix trembled. The only one we know anything about trembling, it was him. Now you say, well, why didn't other people listen? Well, or why didn't other people tremble? I'm sure part of it was they didn't listen. They didn't listen. They were only there for the spectacle. You see, you may not think so, but some people come to church just for the spectacle. Some people, they just show up, all right? Now, I'm not famous, but Paul was famous. Paul was famous. Man, he was known across the land. Maybe there was somebody that just wanted to be able to come and be in there and just tell other people, hey, I heard that fellow Paul speak. I was there. I heard him. I heard him. I tell people sometimes that I was there on the White House lawn when the presidential helicopter landed. All right, I was there. Miss Linda right there, she was there. And when the presidential helicopter landed on the south lawn of the White House, and out stepped President Reagan. I was there. I was there. So was a bunch of other people. Unfortunately, the president didn't come over to me and say, how you doing, preacher? He didn't know I was there. But I waved at him. I was there. I saw him. We like to be able to tell people stuff like that. Said, why? I don't know. Doesn't make me a bit better than you. Doesn't mean anything, you know. Better than say, but I was there. I heard it, all right? People like that today, you know, they want to brag on something instant, you know. Some people, they come to church, they hear the preaching, but they don't really listen. They don't really listen. I preach a message entitled, I'm here, preacher, but I ain't listening. And there's a lot of people come to church, they don't listen. You say, you got to be kidding. No, I'm not. I hope you're listening, but I'm not guaranteed you are. Now you're looking at me, most of you. You know, you're not looking down. You're not counting the bumps in the ceiling. You're here, you know, but are you really hearing what's said? You're hearing the words, but are you getting anything out of it this morning? Man, a lot of people, they come to church, they're there, they're present, they don't get anything out of it. He said, how do you know? Because I've visited in their homes. I've talked to them. I've had people tell me, preacher, it's just like you said last Sunday in your sermon. And they said something, and I thought, I never said that. I don't know what you were listening to, but it wasn't me. Hey, people are that way. Hey, some of them there. Now, the Bible, as far as we know, only Felix trembled. Others were there. But I'm sure some of them really didn't pay attention. They were just there maybe looking at who else was there. Look, look, look. There's Felix, the governor. Look. There's Drusilla. We won't go into what might have been said about her, all right? A lot of things. But there they were. They didn't tremble. Maybe some of them, the reason is because they're so hardened by sin, they're not moved by conviction. A lot of people, I believe, like that today. I've heard people say, well, I'm just not convicted about it. That doesn't mean you're okay. That doesn't mean everything's right between you and the Lord. So if you sit there this morning and you say, well, preacher, what you're saying and what you're going to say, I'm not convicted about it. That doesn't mean you're all right. That doesn't mean you're in good shape, all right? Don't make the mistake of thinking that. It doesn't mean your position is right. I tell you, I believe some are not convicted simply because they don't want to believe what the Bible says about some particular subject. Preacher, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I'll point out to you, it doesn't make any difference whether you or I believe it. If God says it, that's it. You know, I've heard people say, Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, it settled when he said it. He said it, that settled it. You and I don't have to believe it to have it settled. It is settled, all right? So Felix trembled at the preaching of the word of God, but only Felix trembled. But wait a minute, could we take it just a little bit further? Felix only trembled. That's all he did. That's all he did. Now, we don't know what part of the message really nailed him. I've been in a lot of preaching services. I've heard a lot of people preach. I intentionally try to go every time I can so I can be preached to. I need preaching. He said, well, do you preach to yourself? Yeah, but it's real uncomfortable because I know me so well. Says, I don't like preaching to myself, all right? But I go every time I hear and I can. And there's been different times in messages where, boy, maybe something was said, and I think to myself, nobody else got it, but that right there was for me. That right there was for me. That brought conviction. We don't know what part brought conviction to Felix. Maybe it was the realization that he was unrighteous. Maybe it was that part. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody's righteous, that's us. Maybe it was that fact where he realized, all right? He realized, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm in that condition of being unrighteous. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to turn over there, that's fine. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read just one verse there, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says this, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let me read that one more time. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without that holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Hey, the unrighteous sinner is not and cannot be holy. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. This thing ain't looking too good. Yeah, it's not looking too good. Because the unrighteous man, hey, he's not holy. And the Bible said he can't see God. Well, wait a minute. You just said, the Bible said we're all sinners. So we're all unrighteous. So we can't see God. That's right. Unless, you say you'll never get to heaven in that condition. That means hell awaits. Hell awaits. Why? Because you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Lost, headed for a hell. That ought to be enough to make anybody tremble. That ought to be enough to make anybody scared. Hey, buddy, you think you can face hell with no sweat? I'll never forget when I was a student up at North Texas State. I was going to college up there. I was waiting on the bus. I rode the bus back and forth up there. And I was waiting on the bus, and I heard this one brilliant intellectual say, I want to go to hell because that's where all the neat people are. Let me say this to you. You may consider all of those the neat people, but you won't enjoy them in hell. They won't be neat there. Because they'll be tormented just like everybody else that's there. And I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that's in intense pain. But if you've ever been around somebody that's in intense pain, they're not fun to be with. There's no joy in the camp, okay? Hey, the unrighteous, the idea that without him, without righteousness, we cannot see God, that ought to make anybody tremble. That ought to make anybody, the thought that I'm going to spend an eternity in suffering in hell ought to make anybody tremble. Anybody tremble. Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was the matter of temperance. Temperance. Temperance, really, what it boils down to is self-control. Maybe in the preaching of temperance, Felix thought about those times he had been unable to control the urges that had come upon him. He lost control. Couldn't control himself. Those times when his sin took over, they took control and they carried him where he didn't want to be. And they kept him much more longer there indulging in lust or hatred or strife. Maybe it was that he thought about. He never knew when that might come upon him again. Never knew when that took place. Ever been there? Have those urges that come upon you? You can't control them. You lose control of yourself. You do something that later on, oh, I'm ashamed of it. Wish I'd have never done that. But you think, when's it going to happen again? I want to tell you, I believe that right there ought to be enough to cause you to tremble. That ought to cause you to be shook up. I never know when those sinful urges may come. And I'll do something I'm ashamed of. Maybe it was self-control. It was temperance. Maybe it was righteousness. Maybe it was the thought of judgment to come. I don't know about you, but that thought scares me. Take your Bible, if you will, and look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I want you to look at verse 12. Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let me read that again. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. What a sobering thought. One day you will stand before God. There will not be anybody to plead your case. You'll be there by yourself. And it'll just be you before the God of the universe. And the Bible said you're going to have to give an account. The Bible tells us we'll give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether they're good or bad. We're going to have to face those things. We'll be judged for those things that we've done. We'll answer for them. Hey, can I remind you? Nothing is hid from God. Now, you can hide a lot of things today from everybody else in here. You can hide things from your spouse. And you may live in the same house with them, but you can hide things from them. You can hide things from your parents. You're a child, you're still living at home with parents, you can hide things from your parents. You parents, you can hide things from your children. But you can't hide anything from God. I'll tell you how serious it is. Matthew 12, verse 36 says it's going to include every idle word. You just think about that. Every idle word, you're going to be responsible for it one day. It'll all be brought before God in judgment. Those things that said, man, I thought I hid that. Nope, not from God. Not from God. You didn't hide it from Him. He sees it. He knows it. He remembers it. He remembers it. We talk about things down here and we say, oh, I'd forgotten all about that. Well, I didn't remember that happening. My wife will tell me something. I said, I don't remember that. She said, you don't remember that? I said, no, I don't remember it. I try not to say it that way, but no, I don't. We've forgotten things, but not God. every idle word, everything, we'll give an account before him. And I just say to you, that ought to cause you to tremble. That thought right there ought to bring, but you talk about conviction, you ought to be, it ought to be bring trembling. And no wonder Felix trembled. There he was. He was unrighteous and he knew he was unrighteous. He knew he was guilty of intemperance. He knew he would stand before God in judgment. He said, how do you know he knew it? Because he trembled. Caused him to tremble. Caused him to tremble. You said, well, preacher, wait a minute. You left something out that you need to put in. Back there when you were talking about being unrighteous, you had us all nailed and we're all unrighteous. What's our hope? Oh, there's good news. You see, I'm not viewed today as unrighteous. God doesn't see me as unrighteous. He said, well, what makes you so special? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Not a thing. But you see, when God sees me, he sees the righteousness of his Son. Sees the righteousness of his Son. The songwriter said, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Why? Because they've been covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, say, how do you know that? Because I trusted him. I trusted him. The Bible does say in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we've earned by our sin. The truth of the matter is everybody in here, everybody you see, whether they're in here or out there, everybody you see deserves to die and go to hell. That's what we've earned by our sin. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, listen. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've illustrated it many times on the platform by having a small child come up, but there's some smaller children out here, but I don't think any of them trust me enough to come up here, all right? If they did, I'd use them as an example. And you said, what would you do? I'd take my coat off and put it on them. There's one thing, my coat sort of covers me, but it'll completely cover a little child. That swallowed them. You see, that's it. You say, well, that coat doesn't fit. Hey, the righteousness of God doesn't fit on us either. We're not fit for it. But it's been given to us if you've trusted his Son. If you've called upon him and asked him to save your soul. But according to the word of God, Felix trembled. Only Felix trembled, but Felix only trembled. Let me take you back to Acts 24, would you? Acts 24, verse 25. And again we read, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, oh, I wish he would have said, I'll take Christ. But what he said is, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. When I have a convenience, he only trembled. But he put off making things right. He put it off. He said, no, not right now, but I'll think about it. And at a convenient season, I'll call for you, all right? Can I say this? The worst thing you can do is try to wait on a convenient season. Because it may never come. The Bible does not say the convenient season is coming. The Bible says now is the accepted time and today is the day of salvation. See, the question is, when you realize you're not right, The question is, will you do something to make it right? Will you straighten it out? Will you get right? Will you do what you ought to do? You're here this morning, you realize that you're unrighteous and you deserve hell and you've never been born again. Would you today trust Christ as your Savior? Would you come today and say, I'll take Christ. Today, I want to be saved. Today, will you do it? Don't just tremble and walk out and only tremble. Don't let that happen to you. No, get right with God today. Hey, Christian, if you're here and you've stepped away from what God wants of you for whatever reason, maybe at some point you lost control and it got away from you and you did something. And I'm not going to try to name what you might have done. The truth of the matter is, I believe the Holy Spirit right now has put His finger on it in your life. You know what it is. What are you going to do about that? Well, tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come for you. Tomorrow may not come for you. Oh, preacher, look, I'm not like you. I'm not an old man. Good. I am an old man. I realize that. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, but I don't care how old you are, you're not guaranteed tomorrow either. I've gotten a phone call from folks that said, preacher, I want to talk to you about preaching the funeral for my son. They found him dead at his desk at work. A young man. A young man. I had people come up to me at that funeral and say, so he got saved. I said, I have no idea. I have no idea. I didn't know him. I'd only met him once in my life. I just met him one time in my life. I performed the wedding of his sister to a fellow who was a member of our church. And because of that, they saw me and they knew me. They asked me to do his funeral. I had two different guys come up to me at that funeral, said, we went to high school with him, and he wasn't a believer then. I said, well, I don't know. I've got no idea. Hey, you don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. Listen, if that trembling is here, don't just tremble. Take a step towards the Savior, would you? Would you trust Him today? Christian, you're here and you've wandered away from Him. Will you come back to Him today? Hey, there's sin you need to repent of. Would you repent of it today? Would you make it right today? Hey, there's some maybe you need to make it right between you and God. And once you get that right, you need to make it right with somebody here. Now, maybe not in this building, but somebody on this earth. Could be somebody in this building. You see, if God deals with you, you need to move. Don't do like Felix. Don't say, I'll look at it later. We have no evidence Felix ever got saved. You say, preacher, did he? Have no idea. I don't know. I know that day he was under conviction. That day he had the opportunity, but he didn't act on it. How about you? What will you do this morning? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, we're going to sing in a moment a song of invitation. We're going to invite people to come and trust the Savior. We're going to invite people to come and get right with God. Well, maybe you're here as a child of God, but there's sin that's separating between you and your God. But you ought to come and get it straightened out. You ought to come this morning. If you've never been saved, would you just walk down the aisle, meet me here at the front, and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ today. Would you just do that? Very simple. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you exactly what the Bible says you need to do. We won't embarrass you. But boy, we want to give you that chance to get right with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, would you just speak to every heart this morning? Help us to see us as we really are. Help us to be honest about our own convictions. condition. Lord, there's one or two more today that need to trust you as their Savior. Would you give them that courage to come today, to forget about everything else and everybody else, and just come, walk down that aisle, take my hand, and say, "Preacher, I want to trust Christ today." Lord, use this invitation to deal with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning, page 401, "Only Trust Him." Only trust Him. Would you do that today? If you need to come and join these, doing business with God at the altar, then you come. If you're here and you need to trust Christ, would you please come meet me here, please? Would you do it while we sing? Come on. Come now. Sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Sing that next verse. Precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now.